The State Administration and Technology Appropriations Subcommittee will come to order. Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Busada Carrera.
Here.
Vice Chair Mooney.
Here.
Ranking Member Robinson. Representatives Arrington.
Here.
Wasabi. Ferrero.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Harris.
Here.
Holcomb.
Here.
Maggard. Maney. Nixon.
Here.
Persons Malika.
Here.
Steele.
Here.
Stevenson. A quorum is present, Ms. Chair.
Thank you, Emma. Thank you, members. And by your presence, we have a quorum. I want to welcome everyone to the State Administration and Technology Appropriations Subcommittee. Please make sure that cell phones and other communication devices are turned off or on silent mode. Members, we are going to take up our bills first. Representative LaMarca, you are recognized to explain HB 881.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, HB 881 is My Safe Florida Home Program. You're all familiar with it. We did some great work on it last year. And so this bill is related, as I said, to My Safe Florida Home. The program was reinstated last year, and the purpose of the program is to harden homes from future storms. An added benefit is that this home hardening also improves insurance premiums, which we all are looking for. Since the program went live in November of 2022, the program has been able to provide over 20,000 inspections and approve more than 3,400 grant applications. The bill aims to improve the functionality of the existing program as well as expand eligibility for who may participate in receiving grant dollars. And currently, only homeowners in the windborne debris region are eligible for the grant portion of the program. This includes South Florida as well as some small portions on the west side of the state and the Panhandle. This proposal, though, will expand eligibility for grants to the entire state as homes across the state are at risk for hurricane damage. In addition, the department will also be able to send information brochures to Citizens Property Insurance Company so their policyholders will be aware of the program, and that is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative. And seeing no amendments, members, are there any questions on the bill? Representative Robinson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative. Just had a question and wanted some clarity on, like you said, it expands the amount of people that can use it, but it doesn't seem like the dollars expand. So would it put a hardship in some way?
Representative LaMarca?
Thank you, Chair. So it expands the area to include the entire state and not just windborne areas. So typically think coastal areas. There is a separate legislation to or budget issues to expand the dollars. So if we expand the eligibility in the pool, hopefully that we'll cover it with more dollars as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Edmonds, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Rep. LaMarca, for bringing this great bill before us. I just wanted to know, do you by chance know who has been taking advantage of these applications? What area or what county most has taken advantage of it?
Representative LaMarca.
Thank you, Chair. We have some great folks from the DFS here. Primarily South Florida, Dade Broward County.
Thank you, Rep. LaMarca. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Members, any further questions? No? All right. Representative Nixon, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Hey, Rep. LaMarca. Sorry, I just want to piggyback on Rep. Robinson's question. Who does it expand to exactly outside of the?
Representative LaMarca.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Confirm, if you would. The entire state of Florida. So there are areas, obviously, that are coastal that are more prone to hurricanes. What we've seen in the last few years, hurricanes go straight through, and they go through Orlando, and they go through Jacksonville and everywhere else. So it includes the entire state.
Members, any further questions? Seeing none, we do have public testimony. Austin Stowers from CFO Jimmy Patronis' office waves in support. Tasha Carter from the Office of Insurance Consumer Advocate waves in support. And Yvonne Fernandez with AARP waves in support. And that is all for public testimony. Members, is there any debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Nixon, you are recognized in debate.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Thanks, Rep. LaMarca, for this bill. I know that when he came to speak with us, I can't think of the gentleman's name, I was like, oh, that's a great program, but it was just restricted to the coastal cities, but not even past, like, St. John's County. So thankfully, it's going up to Duval, and I stay on the water. I know I have a lot of friends and family that stay on the water as well, and this would definitely impact us. And so thank you for bringing this good bill.
Representative Edmonds, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rep. LaMarca, I think this is a great bill. If we can do anything as legislators to spread the word, we want to. I think the gentleman over there spoke about My Safe Florida last time. I just hope that you guys are using paid advertisement on social media, because that's the biggest way to really get people's attention. So thank you, Rep.
Thank you. Representative LaMarca, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Wave close.
Emma, please call the roll on the bill.
Chair Busada Carrera?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mooney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Robinson?
Yes.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Basabi?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Edmonds? Yes. Harris?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney? Nixon?
Yes.
Persons Malika?
Yes.
Seal?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. And by your vote, the bill is reported favorably.
Thanks for your support.
Thank you, Representative. All right, Representative Burfield, you are recognized to explain HB 505.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and committee members. CS HB 505 seeks to address, clarify, and modernize Statute 627. This piece of legislation amends 627.062 to allow residential property insurance insurers rate filings to estimate projected hurricane loss by using a weighted or straightforward average of two or more hurricane loss projection models, which have been approved by the Florida Commission on Hurricane Loss Projection Methodology. It also amends Statute 627.0628 to permit the Director of the Division of Emergency Management or his or her designee to serve on the Florida Commission of Hurricane Loss Projection Methodology, as well as permitting the Executive Director of Citizens Property Insurance Corporation to assign a designee who is a full-time employee with actuarial experience and senior operations, and or I should say senior operations management experience. It will also amend 627-629 to allow insurers to offer additional mitigation opportunities based on building recommendations compiled by a nonprofit scientific research organization. CLO Plus programs, or what they call, help property owners avoid and reduce damage and disruption during times of natural disaster. They provide a framework for implementing additional levels of resilience to hazards and allow our residential property insurance carriers to submit a rating to the Office of Insurance Regulation to review and approve what would be a approved and justified premium discount that they would be offered. Additionally, it amends 627.0665 and modifies the second notice requirement when an automatic bank withdrawal amount for monthly insurance premiums changes less than $10. At this time, currently, an individual will be notified when they receive their policy of a change, but this would mean that that would be the initial change and notification that they would receive. CSHB 505 allows the electronic delivery of health insurance policy documents and removes the requirement of regarding paper insurance policies. In other words, you are asked if you would like electronic communication of that transmittal of the policy, and then they will no longer have to ask for that approval. If for some reason you would like it in the future, though, you may go back and ask your insurer for it. It will also provide or permit policyholders to type their intent to decline wind as well as contents coverage in their property insurance policies. Currently, they have to handwrite that, which, as you can appreciate, with the amount of electronic communication that is being leveraged at this point in time in business, that is something that is not necessarily in the individual's best interest, as they would have to go in and physically see their agent. And finally, it amends 627.7276 to modernize provisions requiring a physical stamp on a policy jacket for antique cars. Once again, as I mentioned, with the amount of electronic business and communications that are taking place, this is something that is simply outdated. Madam Chair, that's a brief description of the piece of legislation.
Thank you, Representative. Seeing no amendments, members, are there any questions? Representative Nixon.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I have a question in regards to the potential credits or discounts for certain resilience and mitigation efforts. Do you have basically a cost estimate about how much folks would save for certain mitigation efforts?
Representative Burfield.
Madam Chair, thank you. So the Institute for Business and Home Safety is an example of the type of organization, nonprofit, research organization that would establish what those mitigations may be, and then that would be associated with the type of reduction that you would experience.
Follow up?
So can you go into a little more detail about like how they would, I'm a consumer, right? Mm-hmm. I want to know what I need to do to my house and like how much money am I actually going to save?
Okay.
And so if I can get a little clarity on that.
Representative Burfield.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So it would be specific to the types of mitigations that they were offering. So each insurance company would have the opportunity in which to work with that type of an organization, a nonprofit organization, to say, these are the types of things if you as a homeowner choose to do to your home, we'll see a reduction, and then they would outline what those specific costs are. I couldn't give you a specific amount, not knowing what those are from company to company, but I certainly can get you some examples. I can tell you that if you're looking at an example of what might be requested for one of those mitigations, it would be something along the lines, let's say you're putting a new roof on your house. So there's the opportunity to use nails that actually have ridging in them. If you use those nails, they help to create a stronger bond for the roof to the home. And so that might be one of those mitigations. There may be a second level to that mitigation, which is also putting glue on the plywood. So as you're laying it, it's you nail it in, but you use that secure nail, but then you put an additional level of protection, which would be the glue to further secure it to the home. Does that give you some idea?
Representative, any follow-up? Members, any further questions? Seeing none, we do have public testimony. Joy Ryan from the Florida Insurance Council waves in support. BG Murphy with the Florida Association of Insurance Agents waves in support. William Arnold with the American Integrity Insurance Company waves in support. Members, is there any debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Burfield, you're recognized to close.
Wave close.
Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Rosado Cabrera?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mooney? Ranking Member Robinson?
Yes.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Basabi?
Yes.
Ferrero?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney? Nixon?
Yes.
Persons Malika?
Yes.
Seal?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, the bill is reported favorably.
Thank you.
All right, Representative Alvarez, you are recognized to explain HB 1091.
Madam Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, members of the committee, thank you for having me. This will be the second committee stop for this bill, which is meant to help Floridians, especially in this time of inflation. What we're going to do today is we're going to do a 50% reduction in all licensing fees that are regulated by the Department of Business and Professional Regulations up to $200. The purpose of the bill is to put money back in the hands of the people that put it in there in the first place. We've been making record money because of our inflation. We even found more money recently, and we figured, you know, it's time to give some money back, reduce some of that regulation and red tape that gets in there. We know that we have at least, let me rephrase that, we have renewals coming in as well, and then we have people moving into the state of Florida on a regular and consistent basis. Those people are applying, and we want to get them straight to work immediately. It's a $50 million appropriation from general revenue, which is going to go back into the DPBR, and that is the bill, ma'am.
Seeing no amendments, members, are there any questions? Representative Basabe, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Rep, for this excellent bill. Para nuestros constituyentes hispanohablantes, ¿lo puede explicar en español?
Sí, como no. Esta ley proposada.
Representative Alvarez, you're recognized.
I didn't hear it in Spanish, ma'am, so I didn't understand what you meant. I don't know if that's serious or not, but if you want me to do it in Spanish, I'm happy to do it.
No, I think for the majority of the members here who don't speak Spanish, you can go ahead and respond in English.
It would have sounded really good in Spanish.
We trust you.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're recognized.
He would ask me to explain it in Spanish for those that didn't understand. Oh. And now freshmen are hazing freshmen. This is the bomb.
Members, any questions? Seeing no questions, we do have public testimony. Barney Bishop from the Florida Smart Justice Alliance waves in support. Christopher Strandberg, Americans for Prosperity, waves in support. Members, is there any debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Alvarez, you're recognized to close.
I just want to say thank you very much for everybody and working with me and all of your comments. I know that this is really good for Floridians, and you're doing a great thing, so thank you very much.
Thank you. Emma, please call the roll on the bill.
Chair Brusada Cabrera?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mooney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Robinson?
Yes.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Basabe? Barrero?
Yes.
Edmonds? Yes. Harris?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Mahey? Nixon?
Yes.
Persons Malinka?
Yes.
Seal?
C.
Stevenson?
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, the bill is reported favorably.
Gracias,
Representative
Senora.
Alvarez.
Thank you.
All right, up next we have Representative Steele. You are recognized to explain HB 607.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and Committee. I'm honored to be in front of the committee that I sit on. This is a FBI fingerprint fix bill. We ran this bill in 2022. Artie and Zika ran the bill. It was HB 389, and it's basically a rewrite on the control person in the bill, and so we're redefining the control person in the Florida statute, and that is the bill.
Seeing no amendments, members, are there any questions? Seeing no questions, we have public testimony. Ashley Mason, Office of Financial Regulation, waves in support. Members, is there any debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Steele, you're recognized to close.
I wave close. Thank you.
Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Brusada Cabrera?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mooney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Robinson?
Yes.
Representative Arrington?
Yes.
Basabe?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Edmonds? Harris?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Mahey? Nixon? Persons Malinka?
Yes.
Seal?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, the bill is reported favorably. All right, members, I am now going to turn the gavel over to Vice Chair Mooney to present a PCB we have today.
Thank you, Chair. You're going to sit in your seat? Okay. Representative Brusada Cabrera, you are recognized to explain proposed committee bill SAT-23-01, Capital Complex.
Thank you, Chair. Members, I am pleased to present proposed committee bill SAT-23-01. The bill amends Florida law to expand our Capital Complex to include the Holland, Elliott, and R.A. Gray buildings, as well as the grounds surrounding these buildings. Further, the bill designates a portion of the Capitol Complex as a memorial park for the placement of legislatively authorized memorials. The memorial park will consist of the grounds of the Elliott Building across Monroe Street from the Capitol Building south to the Holland Building. We anticipate that the Department of Management Services will raise the Elliott Building and turn the property into a beautiful park upon which we can begin placing monuments and memorials that the legislature has authorized. A number of monuments have been authorized in recent years. However, with capital renovations underway, the memorials have had to wait years in some cases to be completed. The creation of Memorial Park will make it possible to move forward with the placement of authorized memorials in a park setting to be visited and enjoyed by our citizens. In addition, with Memorial Park located along Monroe, the memorials will be easily visible from the street rather than tucked away in the courtyard between the Capitol and the historic Capitol building. The bill conforms to the proposed House General Appropriations Act, as the budget contains $2 million from the DMS Architects and Incidental Trust Fund for the design and development of the Memorial Park. Members, that is the bill.
Thank you, Chair Bisada Cabrera. Are there amendments? No amendments on this. Questions? Representative Nixon.
Thanks, Vice Chair. Hi, Madam Chair. Question. Will the new DMS rules basically oversee this new Capitol complex as well, this park?
Representative, you recognized?
Well, it's all outside. It's all outdoors.
Representative Nixon.
Thanks, Vice Chair. I'm asking because, you know, people have to go through DMS now, and if they aren't in agreement with kind of like the policy, it's just been really hard for folks to sign up for rallies and things like that. And I'm just wondering if they have to follow those same rules. It's a new rule that DMS just issued in regards to being able to come to the Capitol. So that's like what I'm trying to figure out. Will we allow rallies and protests to happen there?
Representative, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. So it would become part of the Capitol complex, but it is open to the public. You'd be able to see it from, you know, Monroe Street, but it would be part of the Capitol complex grounds. So it would be under the same rules that the Capitol complex is under.
Any other questions? Yes, sir, Representative Edmonds, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it. Really quick, is this the most updated list of memorial sites? Because I see that the last one that was approved was in 2018. Have we not thought about adding any other memorials since that four-year gap?
Representative, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. So each memorial that you see gets passed as a bill. So if there has been no bill that has passed since then, that would be the last one. So a memorial that is going to get placed in Memorial Park would have to go through the legislative process as a bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. Chair.
Follow-up? Nope. Any other questions? Representative Nixon.
Thanks, Vice Chair. Hi, Madam Chair. Would you be willing at a later date? Can we talk? Because I'm interested in possibly offering up an amendment just in regards to, I know that I just don't want to be impeding on people's First Amendment rights. That's basically it. And if this is already outside, it's going to be a park. People like to protest whether or not we're in agreement with what they're protesting and rallying around. I just want to make sure that we're keeping Florida free and letting folks actually protest and exercise their First Amendment rights. So, if we can.
You're recognized, Representative.
Thank you, Chair, and I would be more than happy to sit down and talk about that. Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing no questions, public testimony? No public testimony. We are now in debate. Any debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Bruchada Cabrera, you are recognized to close on PCB.
Wave close.
Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Bruchada Cabrera?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mooney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Robinson?
Yes.
Representative Zarrington?
Yes.
Wasabi?
Yes.
Ferrero?
Yes.
Edmonds? Harris?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney? Nixon?
Yes.
Person Salica?
Yes.
Seal?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, the bill is reported favorably. Congratulations. Chair, you're back in charge.
Thank you, Vice Chair. All right, members, I am pleased to present my budget recommendations for the 2023-2024 fiscal year. I want to thank the Speaker for allowing me the opportunity to serve as Chair, and I also want to thank the members of this committee and our unbelievable staff for their participation and commitment to our work in developing the budget recommendations for the 12 agencies under our subcommittee. I believe the budget proposal before us today is fiscally sound and a budget that is mindful of the taxpayers' dollars and serves and protects the interests of our citizens. The State Administration and Technology budget proposal totals nearly $2.7 billion, a decrease of $122 million, or 4% under last year's budget. Our budget is comprised of $627.6 million in general revenue and over $2 billion in trust funds. Funding is included for 11,296 and a half positions. The budget provides 94 new positions while reducing 24 long-term vacant positions for an overall net increase of 70 positions. A few high-level issues with new funding across our agencies include $157.3 million for various information technology initiatives, over $80 million in funding for repair and maintenance of state facilities, nearly $21 million for training, equipment, and positions for law enforcement and first responders. And now a few major highlights of the budget by agency. In the Department of Financial Services, I am pleased to fund the CFO's full request of $100 million for the My Safe Florida Home Program for mitigation grants. The $115 million for the legislature provided last year for grant funding will be fully obligated by the summer. This new funding will keep this valuable program moving forward. DFS funding also includes $59.6 million for the Palm Project, $46 million for local fire district grants for fire stations and equipment, $2.8 million for deferred maintenance at the State Fire College and Arson Laboratory, and $2.6 million for law enforcement vehicles, equipment, and training. In the Department of Management Services, $77.9 million in fixed capital outlay for deferred maintenance of state buildings. This includes $10 million for building and land acquisition, $10.1 million for renovations of FDLE buildings, $6 million for planning and design of new state office building and at the Capitol Circle office complex, and $2 million for the creation of the Capitol Complex Memorial Park. Cybersecurity funding will include $40 million for a competitive local government cybersecurity grant program and the reappropriation of current year balances of $36 million in cybersecurity resiliency funds and $30 million in current year grant funding. Along with the base cybersecurity funding of $25 million, the Florida Digital Service will have approximately $130 million in cybersecurity funds available in fiscal year 2023 to 2024. DMS's budget will also include $25.2 million for distribution of grant funds to the counties for E911 operations, $12 million for continued implementation of the regional emergency call routing solution. This will allow 911 operators the ability to transfer calls, and $8.2 million for the statewide law enforcement radio system for tower construction, tower leases, and FirstNet subscriptions. In the Department of Revenue, the budget provides $59.4 million for fiscally constrained counties and $6.7 million for cybersecurity enhancements and updates to the child support management system. In the Department of Business and Professional Regulation, $3.5 million for an identity verification product that will be integrated with department licensing system, and nearly $1.4 million in 15 new positions to handle increased workload within the divisions of hotels and restaurants and condominiums, timeshares and mobile homes, the Real Estate Commission, and the State Athletic Commission. In the Department of the Lottery, the House budget funds much of the department's request, which will assist the lottery in achieving the estimated $2.3 billion transfer to education as forecast by the Revenue Estimating Conference for fiscal year 2023 to 2024. In closing, members, I want to thank you for your input and ideas and for your participation in agency presentations on all of the pending budget issues. Thank you. The staff and I are happy to answer any questions that you may have. Members, any questions? Seeing no questions, that will conclude our business for today, and I thank each of you for your participation. The meeting is adjourned.